Hi friends, here's wishing all of you a very happy, prosperous and safe Diwali. Enjoy the festivities and spread happiness in these uncertain times. So for this special Diwali episode, we at Cricket Unplugged are going to change and spice things up a bit. So a big part of our journey in the last few weeks and months has been the interaction we are getting with fellow cricket fans, people on cricket Twitter noticing us, and various other people such as our friends and family members who have been impressed and who have liked what content we have put out. So this episode is going to be all about them. Yes, that's right. It's going to be all about them. So the concept is similar to something like a crowdsourcing or crowdsource funding, where we get to hear a variety of voices, new as well as some regular and prominent featured voices on our podcast who have come as guests earlier. So you'll get a mixed bag of some new voices and some old ones coming back again. Again, on that note, I would say here's wishing you all a happy Diwali and hope this episode entertains you. Thank you.
IPL 2020, a tournament much delayed, lots of speculation on whether it be held at all, and where and how it will be conducted, will it have the same buzz if it is held without fans, and the questions were many. But in the end, it all turned out fine. And as we've now come to expect, it was a great tournament. Many tight finishes, many matches going to the Super Over, one even going to a second Super Over. This is indeed a testimony to the quality of the teams that make up this league. Any team can beat any other on a given day, and it is this unpredictability that has made the matches really exciting. How do you explain that deep into the tournament, there were as many as 7 out of the 8 teams contending for playoff berths, and KKR, who at one time were at the bottom of the table, could have actually won the tournament if they'd won their last 5 matches. And I think this is what sets the IPL apart from any other cricket league. The cricket itself, breathtaking. The fielding standards simply seem to get better and better with every edition. Whichever team you supported, no one would grudge Mumbai Indians their well-deserved victory. A champion team, led by a champion captain, at the end, they were way too strong and way too consistent. Now, as the curtains fall on IPL 2020, you were just left longing for a little bit more. Can't wait for IPL 2021.
With not much sporting action during the lockdown, the IPL was a welcome change, and I believe I followed it a lot more closely this year than the past few years. Clearly, this has been one of the best IPLs in the recent past for multiple reasons. There were a lot of close matches, some matches going into super overs and one even going into a second super over. And even the regular games were a lot more closer. In this IPL, only one team was eliminated before the last 4 games. And that was one of the most successful franchises in the history of the IPL. The team that finished 8th actually had 6 wins. And that's something that's never happened before. Another interesting stat was that there were 3 uncapped batsmen in the top 10 run getters and 2 uncapped bowlers in the top 10 wicket takers. As an Indian fan, there is a lot to look forward to. Talking about the champions Mumbai, that team really tells you what having a constant core group can do. A great middle order with some star all-rounders, and they have actually managed this victory even without Hardik Pandya bowling. They have a bunch of match winners both in their top order. Rohit Sharma did not play for a significant portion of the tournament, and they still managed to do so well, and they have some stars in the bowling lineup. I've decided to pick one batsman and one bowler that I'm really looking forward to see a lot more of. The batsman has been one of my favorite players to watch this IPL, Devdutt Padikkal. He reminds me a lot of one of the batsmen from the 2000s that I have admired watching, Yuvraj Singh. Right from the cover drives to the pickup shots, Padikkal has the left-hander's elegance. Outscoring players like Kohli and AB de Villiers is actually saying something. The bowler that I am looking forward to see is T. Natarajan. Ever since the era of Zaheer Khan and Ashish Nehra, I have been hoping that India will find a left-arm pacer as good. After a long time, we have someone who seems promising after his IPL performances this year. He nailed the Yorkers so beautifully. Just the thought of Bumrah and Natarajan bowling Yorkers in the death excites me so much. Thank you.
Hi, this is Mayur from Coimbatore. I've been an ardent fan of CSK and MS Dhoni, but this season as IPL, the few things that I noticed or observed was that before the start of any season, we could actually clearly distinguish a few teams that would definitely do well and a few teams that would not do so well. Those scenarios has changed now, and out of the eight teams, any of the eight teams could disappoint the other one. The lowest ranking team could beat the top ranking team, and it has become so competitive, and there are no more any magic tricks within the game that one team could play. So that is one thing that we have seen. So every team has raised the bar of their performance and their standards, and that is one nice thing to know, that the competitiveness of this season was good. The second thing that I really liked was until the last when you look at the points table, the bottommost team in the table was not did not have like one washover season. At the same time, the topmost team did not have a really smooth ride. So everybody had their own wins and losses, but those teams that actually won those crucial crunch games that were able to sail through. The third point is I'm really glad at the revival of Delhi and Punjab. These two teams over 5 years ago, they were not doing so well. Occasionally in some season they would have one or two superstars and they would do well, and then they would vanish away, like Paul Valthatti or some person for Delhi. But this season they consistently, all the members in that those two teams performed well, and the revival of those two teams, the whole club's cultures must have changed, and I really look forward to what IPL 2021 would have in store for us. So overall, the first thing that I liked was the competitiveness, the evenly balanced out teams in the IPL, and the revival of Punjab and Delhi. Thank you.
A few words about IPL 2020. Well, before I talk about the teams, I feel that the biggest winners have been the organizers in the UAE, who have made sure that the IPL happened without any major hiccup in the midst of a pandemic. That is a great effort, commendable effort. Not only was it a great tournament, but also was a great escapade for all of us fans of the game. Probably the most competitive IPL ever, the team which finished last had an opportunity even in their very last league game to qualify. So I don't think that has ever happened before. Apart from that, Mumbai Indians looked excellent as usual throughout the tournament, winning the title for the fifth time, defeating first time finalists Delhi Capitals. Now they have really widened that gap with the Chennai Super Kings. The latest news coming in that the mega auction will happen in 2021, well, that'll be very much interesting again to see how teams will step forward and how things pan out in terms of the team compositions of the different teams. There are plans to increase the number from 8 to 9. So these are very, very interesting times ahead for the Indian Premier League.
Hi, my name is Abhinav and I'm a 26-year-old lawyer and I'm from Gurgaon and I am I'm a diehard cricket enthusiast and I would and here's my take on the 2020 Indian Premier League season for the Cricket Unplugged podcast. So as far as the IPL goes this season, I think it saw the most dominant team win in the final, which is quite fitting that Mumbai Indians just dominate right through the league stage. They just kept on dominating the proceedings to the very end, not from from ball 1 to ball 120 to the last ball of the season. They did not let up in their intensity or the dominate or the way they ruled over the other teams in terms of the general standards of play, be it on the be it with the bat or the ball or on the field. They just kept at it. It was a relentless pursuit of excellence for the Mumbai Indians as they actually managed to seal a fifth title and become the second only the second team in the IPL history to be able to successfully win back-to-back titles after the Chennai Super Kings in 2010-11. So it was a fabulous season for Mumbai and quite a few stars emerged and I would think that they were very, very good. But Delhi Capitals also were very, very good with a very young core that was captained by Shreyas Iyer, who himself is quite young, and Ricky Ponting as coach just expertly guided them through. I mean, yes, there were a few tricky they did find themselves in more than a few tricky positions, and they kind of made their journey into the playoffs a little too hard for themselves when they actually should not have, because they by the end of the first half of the IPL they were very much in cruise control of proceedings and were looking quite set to be able to march into the playoffs without breaking into a sweat. But it required them to win on the in their last game of the tournament of the league stage to try and to cement a spot in the top two and consequently ensure that they get two bites of the proverbial cherry, which is the IPL final, and they did really well. I mean, a few real standout performance for them in Kahiso Rabada, who won the purple cap, and he was really good right through the tournament, especially bowling in the end towards the end of the innings or bowling in the middle overs. Like, and he did and his double act with Andrik Nowkhia, who was one of the main reasons that Delhi actually made it to the finals. The duo just kept bowling relentless hard lengths and bowled very quick. I mean, they actually Andrik Nowkhia this season was a revelation for them. I mean, he broke all kind of speed records for in the IPL, bowling the fastest ball of the tournament ever of the tournament at 156 k's to in that epic a face-off against Jos Buttler. That was one of the best moments of this IPL. And another standout performer for them, I think, was Marcus Joynes. I don't think anybody would have contemplated that somebody like Marcus Joynes would be able to make his presence known in the IPL in the way that he did. Because I don't think anybody, he's not exactly the best of the best all-rounders that there is in limited overs cricket, and he's not even now amongst Australia's first choice all-rounders in their limited overs squad. But he had a fabulous tournament, pulled Delhi out of the mire in quite a few games in towards the early part of the tournament. Even while his performances towards the later half just kind of tapered off a little, because I think he was just carrying a little too much of the load as far as providing ammunition for the death horse is concerned in the Delhi Capitals batting lineup. I think it just became a little too much for him towards the later half of the season, but by the time the playoffs came, I think Delhi seeing the poor form of Prithvi Shaw, they had to rejig their batting order, and I think that's where the experience of Marcus Joiner's success as an opener in the BBL just came in handy, and he played a fabulous hand in the second qualifier against Sunrisers, and he did really well for them. Shikhar Dhawan, again, great season for him. He batted really well, batted with a lot of authority and dominance, over 600 runs, just about a few runs short of winning the purple, the orange cap from KL Rahul. He batted with a lot of panache, first man to score back-to-back centuries in the IPL. I mean, that 100 against the Chennai Super Kings in Sharjah was a delight to watch. He batted with, I mean, he saw the entire batting order fail around him, and he stood out like a he stood out for them in like a beacon, and he was really, really good for them, and he batted with a lot of very well. Akshar Patel also had a really solid season, got famously won them that game against Chennai Super Kings with the bat, with those three sixes against Ravindra Jadeja in the final over. Bowled very tight controlled spells along with Ravichandran Ashwin. So Delhi has a lot to has a great future ahead of them. I mean, if they just continue doing some of the good work that they have done, and I think maybe fill in a few spots that they probably lack a bit of numbers in, I think that would really do them well. Sunrisers Hyderabad, again, fabulous season. Again, I think they've been in the playoffs from every season after 2016. They have never failed to make it to the playoffs, and this time it is particularly commendable considering how they lost a lot of their important players right through the tournament, be it Mitchell Marsh in the very first game of Sunrisers Hyderabad, which is against RCB. They lost him. They had to bring in Jason Holder as a replacement, who was absolutely outstanding and critically provided them with the balance that their team sorely needed. It was the second half of the tournament. They lost their main pace bowling spearhead Bhuvneshwar Kumar after he played just four games for them. They did not have Vijay Shankar available to them for large parts of the tournament. They did not have Kane Williamson available to them for the last a pretty major part of the tournament, or Ridhiman Saha towards the end when they had just found that squad balance, and Saha was, as an opener, starting to give them great returns at the expense of having dropped Johnny Bairstow to just bring a little bit of a balance to the squad. I think injuries did harm them a lot, but they did really well. I mean, considering all that they were up against, they pulled their game up when it mattered. David Warner again as back as captain, another fabulous season. I think first man in the IPL to score 500 runs in for five consecutive seasons. He's been doing that, and just shows how consistent dominant he has been for Sunrisers Hyderabad in the IPL, and how important he has been for that franchise. Just shows how brilliantly he's done as a captain as well. Rashid Khan again, fabulous. I mean, no bowler ended up had an economy rate which was higher than Rashid's. I think lower than Rashid Khan. Rashid had a economy rate of under 6 and over for right through the tournament, and that just showed how much the Sunrise bowling depended on him, and how many times he stood up to champion their cause on the field. It was outstanding right through the tournament. I mean, teams basically now, the fear of Rashid is such that teams basically, instead of a T20 game, they're looking to play a 16 over game, because they know that they'll not be able to really pinch a lot of runs out from Rashid's four overs, and that's a testament to his skill that he has. And I think with a little more support around him, he'll really be able to do well. Jason Holder was a revelation. He provide them with supreme squad balance right towards the second half of the tournament when it started getting a little tight. And he, in 7 games, 14 wickets, bowled very well up top in the power play, was along with Sandeep Sharma, and bowled and was capable and was quite capable in the death overs as well, and some very high impact innings that he played, especially against Royal Challengers Bangalore or in the in the eliminator against RCB. He batted, he played a few very critical knocks over there, so he had a fabulous season. I think he's making a very strong case for a recall into the West Indies T20 setup after his IPL performance this season. T. Natarajan has been there, the breakout star for them. I think the way he bowled through this tournament was an absolute revelation. I think nobody bowled more number of Yorkers than he did, and I think his selection into the Indian T20 team was very much justified. Bowled fabulously towards the end, death overs, and especially that Yorker that he bowled to get rid of AB de Villiers. I think it's one of the balls of the tournament, because I mean, to get rid of somebody like AB, it does take some doing. I think you have to have a bit of a fight in bit of a lion heart in you to be able to do that, and Natarajan has all that, and hope he does well in Australia now. I think it'll be quite interesting to see if he gets a game, and if he does, I mean, to see that duo of Jasprit Bumrah and Natarajan bowling in the death overs would be quite a treat. Then I think RCB had a pretty decent season. I mean, a bit of an RCB-like season right towards the second half of the season, because first half they did not look like RCB. They looked so very good, so very dominant against every team that they were facing up against. And I think a lot has to do with, I mean, they... Right towards the start, they actually figured out that they needed to have AB de Villiers keep so that they can give themselves a lot more options as far as squad balance is concerned. And he, again, I think the standout batsman for them this season, alongside Aaron Finch, alongside Devdutt Padikkal, who I think deserved that emerging player of the year tournament for the way he batted right through the season. I think the Padikkal is a class operator, bats very well during the power play. I think he still needs to work a little bit against off spinners, but I think against spin bowling, but I think he's just 20, so he'll get his time. Virat Kohli standards, I think he had a very disappointing tournament with the bat, except for that one knock that he had against Chennai Super Kings of 19 not out, which was an absolute treat to watch, one of the best knocks of the tournament, in fact, because of the sheer intensity with which he ran those runs, because he had more than half of his runs coming from singles and doubles. So that was one of the best knocks of the IPL, but he did not really have a great season. Yuzvendra Chahal was their standout bowler. I think whenever Kohli needed a wicket, needed somebody to control, I think Chahal provided him with that, both as a controlling option and as a wicket-taking option. Washington Sundar was very good. I mean, in the power play overs, I think teams were looking to play him out because he was not giving them a lot of options to hit around with a three quarter length that he bowls at, which not a lot of turn on it, and with the accuracy which he was nailing that spot. I think it was really nice to see. Chris Morris had a decent tournament. I think he provided them with a lot of firepower with the ball towards power play overs and as well as the death overs, and a few decent cameos that he had with the bat. I think Mohammad Siraj also did well in some of the games that he got, bowled with a lot of heart, with a lot of intensity, especially that spell against KKR, the 3 for 8 that he had. It was a classic spell of outstanding seam bowling from him. He bowled very well in that game, and I think his selection for the test team, I think it's more a testament to his outstanding first class record that he has generated over the past few seasons, and that's helped him, and hope he does go on to do well there in Australia if he gets a game in the test series. But I think there's still a few things that RCB really needs to look at. I think Aaron Finch's form was disappointing right through the tournament. They did not I think they still need to fill up a few gaps. They had a very weak lower middle order. They hardly had any firepower from anywhere. After AB de Villiers, their batting basically just fell off a cliff, because unfortunately neither Gurkirat nor Shivam Dubey nor anyone else really stood up to be able to get runs for them at a quick pace, and I think they still need to work on a few things. Among the other teams, I think KKR was a very schizophrenic season. They were veered on the awesome to the borderline ridiculous. So I think, and the captaincy change never helps. Mid-season captaincy changes never really do anything for a team. So I think there's still a lot of instability in that squad. A few decent performers, I think, for them. Owen Morgan had a decentish season. Pat Cummins also, I mean, could have done a lot more with the ball. Certainly with the bat, he really had a few good knocks. Pulled them out of the quagmire on quite a few occasions, but I think their standout player this season definitely was Varun Chakravarti. He bowled, I mean, he took, with Narayan's action under question and all, and the fact that Kuldeep also just never looked really in the game this season. So it was fell down to Varun Chakravarti to really get them the wickets in the middle overs and be able to control that phase, and he did that very well. I think 17 wickets he got right through that, and including 5 wicket haul, the only one of the tournament this season. So he did really well, bowled. He had a lot of mysteries up his sleeve, and I think unfortunate that he could not travel to Australia because of the injury after getting selected. So I think KKR still has a few things to work upon, and amongst the other teams, I think Kings 11, I think again like KKR, very schizophrenic season, veered from absolutely outstanding to absolute to borderline to complete patheticness. I think it was KL Rahul, despite his orange cap season, I don't think it really was a KL Rahul like season, because he really did not accelerate at all. I think he just took up too many balls to be able to get his runs, and I think that really harmed Kings 11 on quite a few occasions. Mayank Agarwal had a fabulous season his proper first breakout season in the IPL. Chris Gayle, it was the second half of the season when he came in. I think he just changed the entire outlook of that Punjab squad, did really well. Nicholas Pooran was explosive, and I think he produced one of the greatest moments of the tournament with that six by saving that six in that famous Rajasthan Royals game at Sharjah. That was a fabulous piece of, that is probably the most wondrous piece of fielding effort from them from any player this season, and I think there's still a lot of talent. Ravi Bishnoi had a fabulous season. I think he would, alongside Devendra Padikkal, I think I would rank him as my as the two breakout players of the season. I think 12 wickets he had this season, and I think he bowled very well, bowled and bowled with a lot of heart. Being under Anil Kumble just was a treat. I think it was a good thing for him, because he's definitely picked up a lot of skills from him. So I think there's a huge future ahead for Ravi Bishnoi, and even Arshdeep Singh really impressed me a lot with his left arm pace, and again lot of heart, lot of grit he has, that boy has. Mohammad Shami was very, very good, right? I think he was the go to man for KL Rahul. Whenever he needed a wicket, Punjab needed a wicket, they would always look at Shami, and invariably would deliver, and I think he bowled one of the greatest super overs of the IPL season of IPL history with that in that game against Mumbai Indians, where he just had to defend six and conceded just five, bowling yorkers after yorkers on the trot, which I think would have done would have warmed the cockles of many many hearts in India. So that is a, but they still need, they need to fix up a lot of things. I think Glenn Maxwell was an absolute absolute waste, I think, for them. He ended up the season without hitting a single six for them in the tournament, which is quite an indictment of how bad he was. Gave them a few decent spells with the ball, but otherwise he was literally pathetic with the bat. I think they have to let him go. Sheldon Cottrell couldn't justify his price tag, so I think they still need a lot of surgery to be done. But they did show a lot of heart, especially in getting those five wins on the bounce towards the second half of the season, which really made the season very, very interesting. So I think there's promise in that squad, but I think critical for them is to really shed the dead odd out strategically by players who would be able to really improve the 11 and fill up a lot of critical holes for them. And for once, do not change the captain and coach. For once, do not do that, because otherwise you change the captain, you change the coach, you do not give the time to them to establish to settle the unit down and be able to really be able to win championships, winning squads. So I think that's something that they have to do. They have to keep stability. CSK pathetic season. I think for all practical purposes they were the bottom place team. Hardly saw any sparks of inspiration from anyone. I think it's season to forget for them. I mean, one or two names did stand out for them. I think Sam Curran was really good for them. I mean, he was one of the very few players who actually showed the heart to fight for the team. And that is a good thing for them. And I think it's Sam Curran, Ruturaj Gaikwad, and all these two, I think, were the only standout performers for them. And Rajasthan Royals also, I mean, very interesting very interesting season. They had a few decent performances. I think Rahul Tevatia produced the moment of the season with that fabulous. I think he gave IPL its story of the season. With that, from 8 of 19 moving on to 53 of 31 in that epic chase against the Kings 11 Punjab in Sharjah. And he was really good right through the tournament. I think he batted with a lot of heart, lot of passion, bowled very well, bowled, knew what he could do with the ball, and he did really well. Jofra Archer was outstanding for them, the only standout performer for them. I think they have to look at a lot of things. And I think... if they give themselves, if they think carefully about how they want to build their squad up, Rajasthan Royals does seem to have the pieces to be able to do well. And as far as Mumbai Indians is concerned, I think they had performers right through from everyone. I think no team has ever won an IPL with using as few number of players as Mumbai did this season, with just 15 players being used, and one or two of them in fact being used only because they had to rest a few players or so. So fabulous season for them. Rohit, the batsman, may not have really clicked except for a few games, but the captain Rohit Sharma did really well. Some great calls he made, especially the call in the final to play Jayant Yadav in place of Rahul Chahar, which really worked a treat for Mumbai. I think their standard performer, and you cannot have one standout performer in this Mumbai Indians squad. I think there were lots of them. Suryakumar Yadav had a fabulous season for them. I think unlucky he's not making it to Australia. It's a travesty that despite the good form that he showed and the strike rate at which he was getting those runs, I think it's quite a shame that he's not been able to find a place. Ishan Kishan had a breakout season for them this season. I mean, leading run scorer, 500 runs plus for them, great strike rate in just 14 innings. In fact, he did not play two games. He did very well. Quinton de Kock had another consistent season, another 500 run season for Mumbai. Great, he did very well in quite a few games. Trent Bolt was a revelation for them, 25 wickets with 16 of them coming in the power play, and 8 in fact in the very first over of in the very first over. So he had a fabulous season, clearly showed why Mumbai, they had a defined role for Trent Bolt, and he did really well for them. Just beat Bumrah again. You really don't have many words to describe what that man does with the ball. So he was very good. Rahul Chahar had a good season. Karan Pollard as a captain really showed a lot of good captaincy news for Mumbai, and had a great tournament with the bat as well. Some of the innings he played and the way he finished innings off alongside his Hardik Pandya was very good. Krunal had important contributions as well, and I think Mumbai just knew what they were doing this season. They knew they had a plan, and they just stuck to those plans right through. James Pattinson also. The replacement that they managed to bring in for Malinga was he did really well in the first half of the tournament. Was gave them a very good new ball option, and bowled with lot of fire alongside Trent Bolt, and he did very well for them. So I think there's a lot that if Mumbai don't really need to do a lot of things. If the big auction comes, I think they will look to retain a good the core unit of the side and be able to build up from there. So I think Mumbai did very, very well for this season. I think deserved to win their fifth title this year for the kind of performance they showed. Thank you.
Well, it's the 14th of November, and I'm recording this as a part of a Cricket Unplugged podcast for the review of the IPL 2020. So coming to summarize the IPL, we can only say that after a long time there was televised cricket which was available for the audiences, due to which it did bring a lot of positivity, and hence everyone, I'm sure that all of you would have enjoyed the live broadcast. So coming to reviewing the IPL, I won't be talking much about Mumbai Indians. As you know, nothing succeeds like success. So it is self-explanatory in their successful campaign, and thoroughly well-deserved trophy winners were Mumbai. Whatever strategies they made, all worked for them, including bringing Jayant Yadav in the final as a matchup to the left-handers. So I would like to start by talking about CSK. CSK's campaign was a big letdown this time in this tournament. And the main reason has been the spinners. The spinners somehow failed to find the correct speeds and the correct lengths to bowl in the IPL. So hence, even though they were grounds with long boundaries like Dubai and Abu Dhabi, where I thought they would do well, the performance flattened and tailed out. Although Jadeja was very good with the bat, he struggled to bowl his left arm spin, and he did not give the breakthroughs in the middle overs, which were essential for them to put the brakes on the opposition. So between overs 7 and 15, and also between 16 to 20, both these phases of the game, CSK lost out, and they were behind the 8 ball as far as the games were concerned. And what transpired was that their hitters were not in good form. So initially they were playing with Kedar Jadhav and Murali Vijay, who struggled to get going and slowed down the game and consumed balls and made them a lot behind the game. So CSK were unable to test out their youngsters and even find the spark, as their captain said. So eventually when they found it, they ended up removing Kings 11 from the tournament by a stellar performance. So now coming to Kings 11 Punjab, now this was a team which was known more for doing its sweeping changes, and they never had the same 11 on the park consistently until they started going into the do or die phase for them, where they won 5 games back to back, but eventually they didn't have the firepower to get over the line. But it was a game of percentages and small margins, and they found themselves on the wrong side of a few close results. But there cannot be any excuse. A lot has been said about KL Rahul's strike rate of 129 and that he hasn't played at the correct tempo, but while having that lineup and none of the hitters are in good form, He was forced to play at that tempo, KL Rahul. So I wouldn't blame Rahul for this debacle entirely. Well, as far as captaincy and tactics, you may have some few questionable moves which were made. and also they had a few bench players which they didn't quite realize their full potential, and even Karun Nair didn't quite get going. He could have been a very good finisher or a vital cog in the middle order, but after holing out at fine leg to Ravi Ashwin in one of the games, the game where Ashwin had the shoulder dislocation, after that we did not see much of him in the tournament. But apart from that, their death bowling finally came together with Chris Jordan, and Suchit was the super substitute. Suchit enthralled all of us with his antics at the boundary, and he took a stellar catch. And also this team ended up choking the Sunrisers batting lineup and made them lose 7 wickets for 17 runs. So they did have their fair share of good achievements, but unfortunately they couldn't go the complete distance. So ends the sad campaign for Kings 11. But as the only Indian coach, we should be proud of Anil Kumble and his efforts to attempt to salvage this franchise. So now coming to Rajasthan. Rajasthan arguably have the best 4 overseas players in the entire history of the tournament. They have all the 4 Ashes heroes from the 2019 season in their squad. So they were basically struggling to fit these individuals. They never had a proper opener apart from Robin Uthappa. And tactically they made a mistake by playing Uthappa too low in the order and making him look woefully out of touch. Finally, he came back with a 41 and 21 balls in one of the games where he was made to open. So finally they found the correct position for Robin Uthappa. Apart from that, Yashasvi was too young and it was his early season, so we shouldn't be very harsh on judging him. But it has been a very poor tournament for Steven Smith as a captain and as a tactician, because he did find himself on the wrong side of many tactical decisions, and also there was lack of support for Jofra Archer at the other side. So although Jofra Archer was there as a lone ranger, he didn't find any support at the other end. Kartik Tyagi tried his best, but he was entrusted with a few tough overs in few crucial games, which is a good learning experience for him. But both the wrist spinners, Tevatia and Shreyas Gopal, they bowled really well for Rajasthan, and they were the ones who actually found the correct way to bowl on the Sharjah wicket, back of a length and not giving any room to the batsman. So this way, otherwise the bowling department worked well for Rajasthan. Now coming to KKR. Now KKR had a heartbreaking exit, but they had themselves to blame as they were depending on others' results to go their way to eventually qualify into the playoffs. They made the most expensive signing of the season, getting Pat Cummins for 15.5 crores. And he did work according to his price tag. So he did hit a few sixes, he got a 50. He bowled the difficult overs for them, and he also, in a game where they needed to beat Rajasthan, he came, took the dew out of the equation by taking 4 quick wickets, and he gave them the best chance they could have to qualify despite SRH. So overall, their campaign was a disaster, and the most curious part of their campaign was what McCullum was writing in his diary, whether it was any prayers which they needed a lot, or was it a few strategies that gave their fluid batting lineup and a few weird selections and the shuffling of Rahul Tripathi all led to their collective downfall. So now we come to discuss another team which has punched way above their weight in this tournament, and that is SRH. So SRH, initially they had a problem where they were a top heavy team and they had invested in youngsters in the middle order which didn't come off. Then later they found Kane Williamson, who took over the role of a finisher, and they discovered Saha as a gun opener, and Warner found his old Warner touch. And Rashid Khan had one of his most economical IPL, where he had an economy of almost 5.23, and he proved why he is such a automatic selection in the team sheet. Personally, I would have liked to see more of Mohammad Nabi in the tournament, but that was not to be. But still, Jason Holder and Williamson, the two international captains, they gave the much required balance to this side. So overall, SRH should be proud of their campaign, because despite having the less resources and a spate of injuries from Mitchell Marsh to Vijay Shankar, they still were able to punch above their weight and reach where they could in this tournament. So it was a mixed tournament sort of for SRH. Then we come to discuss the team RCB. Now RCB, surprisingly in this tournament, they played great cricket in the first half and got to 14 points. And but then they had four losses back to back and had a dangerous slump in the back half, and they carried the slump to the playoffs, where they ended up losing to SRH. So again, they did find some good players. Morris was good for them. Devdutt Padikkal was consistent, but they never played this risk. They never played the carefree cricket. They tried to play risk-free cricket. So they were found wanting in times where they needed a move on, and in the middle overs there was a tendency to slow down, and they never had these kind of landmark hitters who could change the game. They had Gurkirat and Shivam Dubey, who were not that high gear kind of batsmen. So they did pay the price for that. So if you see overall, collectively RCB could pay the price for the lack of spark in the Indian contingent. Sorry to use the word again, but the Indian contingent had to stand up. Yes, they had Shahbaz, who was very good as a spinner and great in the field, but they couldn't find someone, Indian star, to consistently deliver for them apart from Devdutt, who was there at the top of the order. And Devdutt is very young, and we can't expect him to carry the baton forward all the time. So hence, it was again a campaign that was much better than all these years, but it still leaves a lot to be desired for RCB. So it's 14 November, and this is part two of the Cricket Unplugged podcast. As you know, we have discussed the six franchises previously in the previous part of the recording. So I would just like to add a small word about this franchise, Delhi Capitals. So they had two good signings from Bangalore, Shimron Hetmyer and Stoinis. And definitely it was a dream IPL, dream 11, not the dream 11 they wanted, but it was actually a dream for one person, that is Marcus Stoinis. Shreyas Iyer was good with 500 odd runs in the series, and they had a very good spin contingent with Ashwin, Mishra, and even Praveen at the end. He didn't do a very bad job, although we cannot expect him to take that many wickets. And Akshar Patel was very reliable as ever for them. Memorable moments for them was the Ashwin's two wickets in an over, followed by his shoulder dislocation. Sadly, it ended in a dramatic way, but good he was able to come back. And also Akshar bowling to Aaron Finch with a beautiful dip and curve, and to get him caught behind. That was a good sight to see in this tournament. They played very good cricket again in the top half. Later they finally beat RCB to get to 16 points and qualified on second position. And unfortunately, or rightly so, they lost four games to Mumbai Indians in the entire tournament. So we can't fault them much over here, apart from a few tactics here and there, but the collective batting lineup did not fire at all times. Always it was a hit and miss. And Shikhar Dhawan did well for them, scoring those 200s. And also Ajinkya Rahane helped to finish a game for them almost, if not for the reverse sweep which got caught at short third man. So overall it has been a satisfying campaign for Ponting and DC. And we can expect more from this team in the future because it's a young team. It has the youngest squad in the tournament. So that was DC. I was backing DC to win the tournament just to have a different winner. But never mind, Mumbai were the rightful winners. So, and deservedly so. So thank you.
Thanks, Raghav, for asking me to give a voice note on this IPL. So I was unable to see the complete tournament. I was seeing the tournament in bits and pieces only. At the same time, I was lucky to witness few of the matches, like the double super over match, and then the match which Virat Kohli completely turned the CSK down. Those kind of matches I was able to see. But all those things are pretty usual. No, these kind of things will happen in each and every tournament. But only one thing which is close to my heart is the match when Rahul Tewatia completely took the game away from Kings XI Punjab. So initially he was looking pretty clueless. He was unable to meet any deliveries. So all the people who are seeing the match have thought, no, we should introduce retired hat in IPL, or the other end batsman should run out Rahul Tewatia so that they can be in the competition. But after some time, maybe after a few deliveries, Rahul Tewatia started to score massively. So he started to hit sixes all around. And, you know, so he was playing at a strike rate of 300. So that was pretty close to my heart. So he literally asked the viewers to shut their mouth. So we'll be also in the same situation. So if we relate that to our life, so we'll be doing something, but the result won't come. All the people will start questioning us, criticizing our efforts, and all those things will happen. So you have to believe in yourself. You have to deliver. So the moment you deliver, all the voices, all the noises will be disappearing, you know, and all those people will be becoming your fans. So this is my takeaway. So we can relate every match to our lives, and I'm still thinking about Rahul Tivatiya even after the IPL has concluded. So this is my takeaway. So whenever you are in that tough situation, whenever your results are not coming out, believe yourself, you will deliver, and all the haters will become your fans. That's it.